impressed. We certainly are thankful to be here today and certainly appreciate all that have come out to be here this morning. And we have been encouraged with Mark and Lauren and Lily being with us recently, and we are thankful for that. But with that said, I want to tell every one of you how thankful I am that you've chosen to come and be here. And even for those old-timers that have been here for like 150 years, we're thankful that they're here as well. But we're thankful that we can all be together. And we certainly appreciate all that are trying to work in the kingdom. And I'm positive about that. So I'm very positive about that. But we talked about in the first lesson, you know, about this, how some have a very negative attitude. And we saw that and how it affects other people. But acquiring a positive attitude takes some time. Paul, you know, we talked about him. And I want to go back to 2 Corinthians, because in 2 Corinthians 1, it wasn't decided by circumstances, because if it had been, we could easily say that Paul could have been one of the most miserable person, one of the most negative people, one of the people that could have stood around and went, "It just can't be done. I've tried. I've been out there, you know, and they just keep beating me down." He said, "We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even of life." Well, that's a fact. He said, I want you to know, you know, it hasn't always been what you would consider a bowl of cherries here. These things are very difficult. I've even despaired of my life. This has been hard. Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In other words, but you know what? I just turned around and I said, you know, God can even raise the dead. Why am I worried about this? I mean, most they can do to me, take my life. And then chapter 11, 16 through 29, he lists all those things he went through, all the beatings, all the shipwrecks, all the many things that he went through. And he just lists them and saying, you know, that's just part of life. That's part of life. And that's okay. God will take care of me. And even at the end of his life, he said the same thing. But he didn't let others affect him either. He said, you know, I'm not going to concern myself with this. I really don't care. Somebody accused him of not being an apostle. And in chapter 10, verse 10, that for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Wow, Paul could have said, well, you know, that just really hurts my feelings. And as a result of that, I'm just don't think I can do this anymore. No, no. 12, verse 20, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. What's he concerned about? That his positive attitude is not going to reflect on them. They're not going to get this. I told you. I've loved 2 Corinthians. I wished I'd have spent more time in it. I have talked to several people and they said, you know, it's true. They don't study 2 Corinthians like they do the rest or something about it. I don't know why. But it has got to be one of the most uplifting books I've ever picked up in my life. To think of this man. He said, you know what? I'm concerned that there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. Why? Because they weren't being positive there. They were being very negative people. They just didn't think this was going to happen. 2 Timothy 4, he's such a positive person. He knows that his life's about over. And like I said, I remember Gary giving a lesson on this some time ago and talked about the fact here he is in jail. He's by himself. And it's not that Paul didn't have a lot of friends. It's not that people wouldn't have been there for him, but a lot of them just couldn't be there all the time, and some had left, and here he is by himself. And he says, in my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Now that's positive, isn't it? I just don't want that to ever bother you, that you couldn't be there. Because after all, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Isn't that a wonderful attitude? I know I'm going to die here. I'm not getting out this time. And it is believed that Nero had him killed. Of course, he wouldn't have, except for those Jews that wanted him killed, that took him up there when he made the appeal to Caesar. And you think about this, here he is, and the only thing he's thinking about is, but this worked out well. You know, I got to teach a lot of people while I'm here in this city. What an attitude! Just wasn't going to let it affect him. So how was his acquired? Well, he said, I'll tell you, 2 Corinthians, I used this in this discussing 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite passages. I've used it, you know, maybe at some sad occasions, but here we have him saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He said, do you know why I can be so positive? I've got a God that's always there comforting me and comforts us in all our tribulation. Well, how about that one? No, he was there. How about that one? No, he was there. that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So I'm going to pass it on. You know, I'm going to be positive and I'm going to go to people and I'm going to say, you can do this. You can make it. You can do it. In Colossians 7, verse 13. That can't be right. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. I need to get new glasses. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort. So, can you imagine that? Here's Paul complimenting them who, several of them have been putting him down and everything, saying, but you've been such a comfort to me. You have actually been there for me, and I appreciate that so much, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. He said, not only do I want to tell you how much comfort he was to me, but let me tell you why. When Titus was there, you gave him great joy. You think Paul didn't love these people? You think he didn't try to continually lift them up? But he knew where true strength came from. See, what happens with this is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. After he had prayed about this thorn in the flesh, he says, this is what the Lord had said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather rejoice, boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If that's what it is, if indeed I can show Christ even better in my life, then bring it on. I'll take it. Because after all, that's who I'm trying to show in my life. I'm very positive about Him being in my life. And if I can exhibit that to other people and I can let them see that I can make it, I can do it, then they'll be lifted up as well. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where do I get my strength? Through my Lord and Savior. How can I get strength from Him? All the things that He did for me. Roger talked about that. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hebrews 12. For the joy. How could that be? That positive attitude of knowing that just a few were going to be obedient. Was it worth him dying on the cross for the few? He said, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody's not going to obey me. There will be some that will. And it will make it all worthwhile. And in Hebrews 12, verse 12, we find that, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He said, it's up to you now. Christ has done everything in the previous verses in Hebrews 12. He's done it all for you. I've shown you all those faithful from times past. Now it's up to you. You get out there. You lift people up. You be positive. You tell them it can be done. You tell them they can make it. You tell them their sins can be remitted eternally. But he had some true goals as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he knew what his goal was. He said, I'll tell you, this is just a light affliction. Because I got a goal. And I'll tell you what my goal is. One of these days, I'm going to get rid of this old body. Then I don't have to concern myself with it anymore. I've got a promise. I'm going to get something. And I'll tell you what it is. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. He talks about things that are eternal versus things that are temporary. He understands this is just temporary. And in Philippians 3, he understands where his citizenship is. He understands what it's all about. And he knows he hasn't made it yet. He hasn't already attained in 13 and 14. But he's pressing toward that mark for the goal, for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. But he had true confidence as well. I didn't use anything from him, but I do use something from John. 1 John chapter 2, a good friend of mine used to use this frequently in discussing the Bible, and he said, what a beautiful thought. And now little children, verse 28, now little children abide in Him, that when He appears we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And he goes on to say, we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I said Paul, but actually in Acts 28, we're going to see Paul here. Acts 28, verse 31. Here he is. This is the first time he's been arrested. He's got his hired house that the Romans are allowing him to bring people in, and he's teaching them the gospel. They're bringing people to him, and he hasn't given up. They'll come to him, which is the best he can do at that point. He teaches them. What's he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God, teaching on things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. No one forbidding him. His whole thought process was, you know what? When we're teaching people, We have to have the confidence. We have to believe in the product. We have to know that what we have. And he had it. But he had true knowledge as well. It wasn't just, okay, I think so. I believe this is right. It could be. I think maybe God wants this. He didn't doubt that at all. He knew exactly what he had. And in Philippians 3, let me tell you, he talked about where he came from, what he was physically, how he could have bragged about this and said, look at me. Look at me. Look who I was. And look who I am. No. I'll tell you what he did say and said. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss. That is, those things as compared are worthless. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as trash, as dung, that I may gain Christ. Depends on the version you have. Think about that for just a moment. He said, as far as who I am physically, I gave it all up. I don't care anymore. I have something, true knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. I have what's real, what I can hold in my hands. And he understood about true service as well. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said, I know what I'm here for. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In 19 through 23, I am going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes that is lawful and right to bring someone to Christ. And he said, I'll tell you the extreme I'm going to go to. Whatever it takes, I'll get on their level. I am free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. He's not complimenting himself. He's just saying that's what it's about. It's service. I will serve you. Should be the attitude of all of us. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. For those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. There was folks that thought the Gentiles had no law. He's saying they actually did, but we're looking at them as if they didn't, so now I'm telling them about this law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake. He's not leaving the gospel out of this. He's just saying, my attitude needs to change on this. That when I'm talking to someone, I need to understand and know them. This is not from a position of haughtiness. I'm not looking down on someone saying, oh wow, you know that Roger back there, he just isn't getting it. You know. Like that at all. You become as that person when you're trying to teach them the gospel. You get to their level. You understand them. That's what he's saying it's worth. We acquire a positive attitude by positive thoughts. If then, in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. So if I asked you to raise your hand and I said, what gets you down? What makes you negative? Would most of you not admit, including me, that it's the things of this life that gets us down? Oh yeah, there's some spiritual things out there as well. But lots of times it's just the things of this life that get us down. I said, well, get your mind above that. Start thinking a little higher. Positive reminders. I use this from the very beginning. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A positive reminder. Remind yourself, your labor, whatever it may be, and doing what God wants you to do on this earth is not in vain. Not in vain. And of course, in this, he's discussed in the resurrection from the dead. Positive friends. Oh, wow. You know, I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for your positiveness. And I think that I was thinking earlier when I was sitting back there, you know why some of the people are coming to be with us, and you know why people are becoming obedient to Christ and why people are wanting to be there. I hope and I believe that they see in us this positive attitude that we can do things. We're looking forward to doing things. We're looking forward to getting another building and trying to make things work with God's help. We can accomplish all that, but it takes time. And it's in God's time, not our own. And I think that when I look at this, the positive friends, there's a man here, a man called Barnabas. And he's called the son of encouragement. He's the kind that would come up to you, put your arm around you and say, you know, Roger, I know you're going through some hard times, but you can do it. You can make it. You know, Kim, I know that you don't like Bill being out to sea, but you can never let that affect your spiritual life. You need to keep going. He would be that kind of person. He would be the one that would say, you can do it. How do we know that? Well, he was the one that encouraged John to keep going when Paul said no. Two good men. Good men. In 11:22, we find that he's out there doing more. He's encouraging people. He's strengthening them. He's helping them. And we see him in 22-24 of chapter 11 of Acts. They sent Barnabas about as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with a purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Wow, type of man you'd want to be around. This is a man that says, you can do it. And I put Philemon 4:7 because he said, you've oft refreshed me. And same thing in 2 Timothy 1:16 through 18. You need to be the kind of person that can build others up, can say, this is possible together, or even as an individual. We need to be out there working and doing what we need to do. Just keep doing it. Don't give up. And in 2 Timothy 1, he talks about Onesiphorus. How he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Wow, you know that Paul had a special place in his heart for this man. He understood when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out diligently and found me. And the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. We don't forget. I said, you know, it's amazing how much that my friend Larry lifted me up when I was up there. Positive actions, though. Can't just have all these thoughts. Can't just have a bunch of people around us that are trying to get us going. We need to do something about it. In Philippians 2, 12 through 14, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. He's simply saying, you can do this. You need to, though, do it. Don't just sit there and talk about it. Positive growth, 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. How can we have positive growth? If we've got all this out there on the bad side, well, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Positive hope, Romans 8, 24 and 25, for we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. It's very positive what we have out there. It's positive where we're going. All things are good. There's no negatives about eternal life, about heaven. There's none. It's all positive. And then positive language should come out of our mouth. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech sometimes be with grace. No, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We need to make sure that our speech is ready regardless, that it is always seasoned with salt. Positive commitment, 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Positive commitment. I place myself in the hands of my Lord and Savior. I turn it over to Him. I will wait for Him. I believe with all my heart that I have salvation when He comes back. On the basis of my goodness? No. On the basis of my trying to obey and on the basis of His blood being shed on that cross and His death on that cross for my sins. And then positive study. In 1 Timothy 4:16, He would say to him, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. And what will happen? For in doing this, you will. No, maybe. Could be. Possibly. No, no. You will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, he's not talking about verbally just hear. He's talking about where their hearts are open, they hear and they obey. We need to make sure that we continue in it. Continue in it. Never give up. And then positive prayer. James 5, 15 and 16, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And if I use that every week, I couldn't use it enough. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. All these positives in our life, how could we not be? So we need to avoid negativity. Like, for instance, you know, I like talking about the economy, and I'm really down on it, and I say, you know, things about the economy and how bad things are, and, you know, it's just hard to make ends meet and just whine and cry and everything. What made me think of this was like 2 Corinthians 11. Here's Paul. He said, you know, let me just tell you a little bit something, he said in verse 27. Economy is not too good for me. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Doesn't sound like things are really all that good. Doesn't sound like he's enjoying, you know, the best of everything. Should be very miserable about this, correct? Let's turn to Philippians 4. He said, you know, let me tell you how positive this is. He said in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, but I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. To know how to be abased, know how to abound. Everything, everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then, of course, goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here I am, you know, living in a really nice house with food and clothes and all the things that I could possibly ever pretty much want in life. Or maybe health. Well, he said, you know, no. Here I am, he said, you know, I've prayed to God about this. It's a thorn in the flesh that Satan has given me. It's tough. I mean, you know, it's something he didn't want. Obviously didn't want it. He prayed about it. But again, how does he look at it? Very positive. He says, it'll work out. How about the past? Paul, you know, we're not going to let you forget. Paul, we're going to bring it up to you. We're going to tell you what you were. We're going to, wow, you know, what if I'm teaching somewhere and they learn about it? Oh, well, you know, too bad. Actually, the truth of the matter is, it would be okay because I've changed. If people, good people are going to hold that against me, then we've already got a problem, don't we? He said, you know, I'm not worrying about that. Everybody has a past. Just put them behind. Reach forth. Don't worry about that anymore. Don't concern yourself with it anymore. Did Paul remember it? Absolutely. Did Paul live probably more fervently for God after that? Absolutely. Did he let it get him down and drag him down and concern himself with it? Nope, he did not. He said because it was God that brought him out of that. How about just those useless disputes? 2 Timothy 2:23. You know, apparently, they brought up a lot of things at that time from the Old Testament and from everywhere else trying to just bring up things about, okay, genealogies and people are somebody because of this or that. He said, I'll tell you what, just in general for us today, you know, he might have been more specific then, but the principle still applies. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes knowing that they generate strife. And it'll bring you down. It'll just make you negative. And after a while, after you just, you know, pretty much argue with someone over whether the earth is round or not, after a while you just give it up. It ain't going to matter because it ain't round to them and it never will be. Of course, it's really not round anyway. But regardless of that, it's more round than it is square or flat or any of those things. Anyway, truth is on that, doesn't really matter, does it? Just sometimes it's better just to give it up. You don't want to get into this all the time. I'm not talking about good discussion of God's Word. We need to do that. I'm not talking about not standing up for God. We need to do that. But useless stuff, forget it. How about those false teachers? We can just spend our time all the time and we talk about the fact that they sometimes really get to us. Well, he said, I'll tell you what, do. He said, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, receive it not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. He said, just don't do it. You want to avoid some negativity in your life? If you know someone, they're just going to bring evil doctrine to you and they're not going to discuss it with you and they're not going to have a good Bible discussion with you. Don't waste your time. Well, yeah, but, you know, times are bad, right? I mean, we've got people who would love to see us dead. Actually, some of those people tried to kill and did kill some American citizens. And whether people want to admit it or not, that's... a lot of them would still like to be able to do that, and it's a truth, and I don't stand back from that at all. They're not the only ones. And a lot of people are just totally opposed to those that are Christ-like. They're trying to follow Jesus Christ. They can't stand the thought of those bad Christians out there, that we're some of the worst people in the world, I guess, because of what they say about us. Well, you know what? Perilous times. I think Paul went through a bunch of them. I know that he lived in one of the worst times that you could possibly live on earth as far as a government's concerned. 2 Timothy 3, he talks about... Now, this is interesting because he's already living in a perilous time. They didn't know if they could, you know, if the emperor wanted you dead or if somebody else in the Jewish nation wanted you dead, you were pretty much dead. They take your life. He goes through all of the things about how people would react. Let me just read this. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like today's time? But, you know, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I think they, some of them had gone maybe Tuesday night, and Mike Willis had talked about how this is a form of godliness now. Some of these things are accepted. Some of these things of sin that people used to say are very immoral, now it's like, well, they're not immoral anymore. So if we looked at that and we thought about it, we might get discouraged, but let's go on down, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. He said, yeah, it's bad times. And yes, and all who will desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a given. Perilous times. Get negative about it? No. Be positive about it. If we have to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, so be it. We need to acquire a positive attitude. And as we listed those things, positive thoughts, and I certainly don't have them all up there that are from God's Word, positive reminders, positive friends, positive actions, growth, hope, language, commitment, study. All those things are very important. Positive, though. Very positive. When we're talking about this, I just want to make one point. There are some things in God's Word we're not to do. Those are very negative. They will not help us at all. We need to stay away from them. Not what we're discussing today. We're talking about our attitude toward our lives and positive prayer, most of all, and talking to God. I think Paul said it well, don't you, in 2 Corinthians 1:18 and 19? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. I found this verse very positive. He said, it can be done. In Jesus, we have a positive life and a positive future. He, through His death, made it possible for our sins to be forgiven eternally. We have no need to sorrow. We can remain positive in Christ. We need to exhibit that toward others so they, too, will want what we have. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all, he said. Timothy, he said, you want your life to stand out? Keep it in God. We cannot, quote-unquote, sell what we do not believe in ourselves. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Today, have a positive attitude. Believe in Christ. Repent. Confess Him. And be immersed in water for the remission of sins. We can't change all our circumstances, but we can change ourselves with the help of God. We're going to stand and sing a song. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?